Good morning, we're doing the Rashot Aran. We're up to page Taf Mim in the Mosad Arav Kook edition. And the Ran had been analyzing the legal structure that the Torah sets up for us. And so we began with a discussion of the powers of the king and the powers of the court and the balance of powers between the king and the court and the responsibility of the court to take over the duties of the king at the time when there is no king. And the responsibility of the court in reaching conclusions, and even if the court's conclusions are argued upon, there the Ran went into the whole concept of Tanur Shel Achnai, the argument between Rabbi Eliezer and the sages, and we move on. Ulefi Shasidur Hamedini. He's moving on in describing the social structure. Ulefi Shasidur Hamedini Lo Tushlam Al Pi Hashoftim Levad. And being that it's impossible to run a society with judges alone, as the Ran explained, the judge's responsibility, the Ran had explained, is to stick to the letter of the law. What does it say? Yes or no? And they cannot use judgment in thinking, well, if we look at the broader picture, if we look at the greater good, that's the king's job. If they feel that this is a question that has to be decided based on a broader outlook, and not based on the dry laws of the Torah, so then they have to pass it on to the king. But when there is no king, then the Ran said that's when they have the responsibility to do the job of the king and take into account the broader picture. But they're not acting as a court then. They're acting as the court taking the hat of the king. So he says you cannot run a society with judges alone. Im lo sheyash limenu amelech, you need the king to fill in the gaps. That's why in the parasha of Shoftim, the Torah says, appoint judges. And right away the Torah says, and also appoint the king. And the Torah says, Ki tavo ela aretz, when you come to the land that Hashem is giving you, and you'll say, Asima alai melech, let me establish upon me a king, kechol agoyim, asher sevivotai, like all the nations that are around me. Umina nireh sheomro asima. And the usage of the term asima, the Torah says, you will say, I will place upon me. The very next pasuk, the Torah says, Sum tasim alecha melech, place a king upon you. So why did the Torah introduce it with this conversation? You'll say to yourself, let me place upon me a king, then you have a mitzvah, establish a king. Tell me, I have a mitzvah, establish a king.
That's...
Could be, but why was that important? Why was Hashem telling us that?
Why is telling us that you will save ourselves?
Yes. Hashem's saying, you'll tell yourself, I want to put a king, and then you should put a king. Is it a condition? What's the Torah telling me when it describes that the events that'll happen? Yirmoz b'ma she'amar la'atid b'mei Shmuel. I think, says the Ran, that the Torah is alluding to what's going to be said later on in the days of Shmuel. Kmo shkatav Ramban Zal, as Nachmanides writes, Aval ani mosif od biyuhu bapsukim eile. He says, but I want to add an explanation. Shehu omer, ki tavo laaretz, gam ki tigbar alecha tavotcha leidamot el hagoyim asher svivotecha. The Torah is warning you of the following evolvement of events. The Torah is saying you're going to come into the land of Israel. Then you're going to say, we're a great nation. And then you're going to say, let me be like all the other nations. I don't think you guys, many of you weren't around back then, or you weren't old enough to remember this, but there was a time when there was a prime minister in Israel called Yitzhak Rabin. And Yitzhak Rabin said, we want to be like all the nations around us. Israel is a modern state. We're going to be like everyone else. Says Naran, the Torah was warning us. You're going to come into the land of Israel. And you're going to have this great desire. Let me be like everyone else. Let Israel be a modernized nation like everyone. And you're going to say, let me establish a king, let me establish an aristocracy, and let me have the king run the show, let me have the king run the country just like every other nation. Ma she'en ra'uy liyot ken. That's not right. The Torah is saying that's not how I want Jewish society to function. I don't want a king, that you should have a king like all the nations. What does Hashem want? That the way we run our lives will be based on the judges, based on the law of the Torah, not based on a king. A king does things based on his understanding. So we trust him and we work with him when we have to, but that's not the way of the Torah. The Torah says, I'm giving you that because you need it sometimes, but it's the exception. The way of the Torah is work with the system of the Torah, work with the laws of the Torah. The Torah says, you shouldn't want to be just like them. How do they appoint a king? They take a vote. Who likes Caesar the best? Whoever likes him the best votes for him. Hashem says, no, you shouldn't be taken by whims. You shouldn't be taken by desire. Now I want him to be my president. Hashem's warning us, if you find yourself saying this sentence, I want to have a king like everyone else, you shouldn't have said it. You shouldn't be there. But if you find yourself saying that, the Torah continues and says, you can't just appoint a king because you like the guy, because you think it's a good idea. That's why the Torah continues and says, you'll place a king that Hashem chooses. And that's what the Medrash says right away. What does it mean, Hashem chooses? Al pi navi, based on a prophet. So the Ran says, why does the Torah describe our desires? That you'll say, I want to have a king like all the nations. The Torah is warning you, this might happen. You might find yourself saying, I want to have a king like all the nations. And then the Torah says, no, you're not doing that. When the Torah says you'll place a king the way Hashem says, based on a prophet, the Torah is telling you, and not what you were thinking in the last pasuk. The Torah is saying, you can't take a vote. It's not a question of whether he's popular or not. Everyone thought that Reaganomics would work, right? President Reagan spoke beautifully. He said, we have to cut taxes. President Reagan had what?
And he raised taxes.
For sure he raised taxes, big time. Most of his tenure he raised taxes. But the people were, he was very popular. He was a good actor, right? Trickle down economics. So the wealthy got wealthier and the economy, whatever.
How do you solve this?
He said, the government shouldn't solve the problem. The government is the problem. That was President Reagan's line. So that was very popular. So get the government out of the industry, right? Very popular until people suddenly saw what it brought to the world. So the Torah says you're not going based on the popular vote. That's not going to happen. What were you asking?
How do I spell it?
What we're learning now, Drashot Aran.
Yeah.
Drashot. Drashot.
Drashot.
Yeah. You're on 123torah.com?
What do you mean by the government is the problem? As in, how would you fix
that? That's President Reagan's problem.
I always hear that from.
Yeah, but I can't go into it.
How do you fix such a huge?
I'm not going there. I just meant as an example that the people can be swayed. The Torah says your king has Torah responsibilities. And the Torah says, you're not appointing a king based on a popular vote. You're appointing a king based on the judges. And being that the king has so much power, so the king doesn't get subdued by the laws of the Torah. In that sense, the Torah gives the king free reign. The king can kill, the king can tax, the king can punish. And that's why the Torah says, be so careful before appointing a king. He has to be very God-fearing. You know what he can do? We saw it, unfortunately, in our history. Look at the Second Temple era. You see kings that killed whole towns because they thought they might be rebelling against them. So let's just wipe out the town. And they didn't have to give an accounting to anyone. You had bloodshed. It's horrific when you read Josephus. Compare that with the first Beit HaMikdash, where you have Shlomo HaMelech's son, Rehavam. He's a young king. He's come to the throne. He's said his word. My pinky is greater than my father's waist. Kotni gdala mimotnei yavi. He says, I'm going to teach you a thing or two. And what happens? 10 tribes seed from the union. You have the 10 northern tribes saying, Ma lanu beven Yishai. What do we have anything to do with the descendants of Yishai? They don't even call David by name. They say, we're out. Okay, a rebellion happens. What does Rechavim do? He knows just what to do. What would his grandfather David do when there was a rebellion? He puts together an army. Rechavim is ready to go out to war. It seems to be the most legitimate war on the earth, right? He's the king. What's happening? There's a rebellion. He has to put down the rebellion, right? The Navi walks in and says, God said don't go. God said that this is supposed to happen. Leave them be. So what does Rechavim do? He puts down his forces. There's a God-fearing person. I'm always in awe of Rechavim, the son of Shlomo. We tend to remember his failure, how Rechavim spoke too harshly with the people, how he didn't heed the warning of his old advisors. When I look at that, how Rechavim said, I'm leaving. God said, no, no. What a tzaddik. Wow. Yes.
Is this showing us that we should always listen to the elders when we ask for advice?
No, not necessarily. Thursday night, remind me, we'll discuss it.
Does this mean that, like, if in today's terms, you're the presence of Israel, or like, you want to say the prime minister, and a rabbi tells you don't do this, it's a bad idea, you should listen to them?
It's a good question, but I brought it as an example. The Ran is saying that when the Torah stresses, appoint the king based on a prophet, the Torah is telling you, I'm going to give him a tremendous reign, tremendous license to punish and kill, and that's why he must be a God-fearing person. And I just wanted to compare and contrast. Second Temple era, you have kings who think someone might be rebelling against them, they're ready to wipe out whole towns. You have kings in the Herodian dynasty, they killed their own family members. And then you contrast that with Shlomo's son Rechavam, who was so pious that even at the expense of losing his kingdom, it wasn't a question, maybe someone's rebelling. He lost most of his kingdom. And he said, if God said so, that's what's going to happen. And he put down his arms. So that's what the Ran is telling us. You must have a king who's a God-fearing person. יותר ממה שהתחייב לתיקון הכלל, ציווה שיהיה ספר תורה עמו תמיד. So the Torah is saying, yes, he has a responsibility to ensure society functions correctly, but if I'm giving him so much power, much more important to be a God-fearing person. And that's what the Torah says. Make sure he always has a Sefer Torah with him, right? Never leave home without it. Yes?
Do you think that in the kingdom of Israel, which is not supposed to be even the kingdom of Israel, that there was a good Israel, who are not the most pious people, with Ahab, when Ben-Hadad was, yes, the Torah, and I was just carrying with him, the Lord is my master.
Very nice. Kiomro, as the Torah commands, Vayachashivto al kisei mamlachto v'chatav lo et mishne Torah azot al sefer. By the way, I never understood the pasuk to mean that way. I think it's a beautiful pshat. You're saying that he asked for Achav's personal Torah. It's a beautiful pshat. I don't remember seeing that pshat. Chazal say he asked for the Torah, but Chazal say he asked for the Torah because he wanted to erase or burn where it says that the Ammonites and the Moabites cannot marry into the Jewish people. So that's what he was upset about. He wanted to adulterate the Torah. And that's what he was saying. And Achav said, I was prepared to give you my wives, I was prepared to give you my kids. The Torah isn't mine to give. I have to ask the sages. And the sages said, no way, go to war. And he went to war and he was victorious. So I always understood that medrash that he was talking about the Torah in general. He wanted to say, you'll make an addition, you'll edit the Torah, and you'll say, you'll remove that commandment from the Torah. And that's how I understood it. You're saying, it could also be understood Ahav's personal Torah. It's a very interesting pshat.
It's a specific pshat.
Very nice. It's very nice. On the contrary, I'm saying it's something I have to digest. I have to relearn the psukim and see how that fits, but that's a very nice thought. Coming back to the Ran, Vayachash yivto al kisei mamlachto v'chad tavlot mishne Torah hazot al sefer milifnei ha-kohanim al-leviim. So the Torah describes when the king sits on his throne, he has a mitzvah, he writes a Sefer Torah, you know how tefillin looked like this? So the king would wear his tefillin right here, and then he'd have a little Sefer Torah right here. He would, according to some, he would even have it tied on. It was like a jewel that he'd carry with him everywhere, a little Sefer Torah that was with him everywhere he went. And he was supposed to read it. Vaitaimo, the Torah should always be with him. V'karavo kol yemei chayav, he should read it throughout the days of his life. Leman yilmad, so that the king will learn le'irat Hashem elokav, to fear Hashem as God. Lishmot kol divrei Torah hazot, to obey all these words of the Torah. Yirtze bazeh, what the Torah wants to tell us here, shech sheyafritz al midot haTorah, when the king finds himself going off to the extreme, he's not going to adhere to the Torah. Litzor tikun zmano. He's going to say, okay, now the time warrants it, right? The Talmud says, one day witnesses walked into court and said, you know, yesterday Reuven went with his girlfriend and they were intimate under a tree. So the court gave him a very harsh punishment. So the Talmud says, wait a second, which prohibition did he transgress? So the Talmud says, No. The courts realize that if they don't react harshly, then there's going to be a breach in the modesty of all society. They have to react harshly because otherwise all society is going to go down the tubes. If they have to make it clear that such a thing can't happen. So this idea that sometimes you have to react harshly in accordance to your understanding of the needs of the time, so the king is doing that all the time. That's his job. Torah says, keep your Sefer Torah with you. So that you're always thinking, I'm not doing this to transgress the Torah. And he says, I'm not doing this to remove the yoke of heaven from me, b'shum tzad, in any way. The king always has to remind himself, why am I doing this? I'm doing this to retain the laws of the Torah. My job here is to hold on to the Torah. I can't just say, I'm the king, I do whatever I want. This is what I think, that's what I'm going to do. No. The king has to keep thinking, even though here I'm not doing exactly what it says in the Torah, I'm doing it to keep the Torah. Specifically, the king needs this mitzvah because he's given license to do against the Torah. The Torah tells him, you don't have to answer to anyone. You think you should give a guy lashes, give him lashes. You think you should put him in jail, put him in jail. So the king has to keep reminding himself, I'm not allowed to do this unless I really, really understand that this is for the sake of heaven. This is the way to keep the Torah. That's why he has the mitzvah to read the Torah over and over again. Kashan umar al tzad ha-mashal. The Ran concludes this paragraph and he says, we would say, for example, shekshiyarog oreg nefesh beloidim matra. Let's say he knows that Jack murdered, but he doesn't have witnesses. But the king is convinced that Jack committed a murder. So now the king is going to execute him. But wait a second. The Torah says you need witnesses. The Torah says you have to warn him before he does it. So the king says, yeah, but I'm still convinced and I'm going to kill him. Lo tiyeh kavanato leharot memshalto l'am shu shalit al zeh. The king shouldn't walk out and feel like, I'm going to show everyone, I'm the boss, and if I think a person should die, he's going to be dead. No. His point has to be, אבל יכוון בעשותו זה, he has to think, I'm doing this, כדי שמצוות לא תרצח תתקיים יותר ולא יפרצו עליה. I'm doing this because there's a mitzvah in Torah that says, don't murder. And I have to ensure that there aren't murderers in town. I'm doing this to uphold Hashem's mitzvah. Meaning the Torah keeps telling him, you're given license and you have to use it for the right reasons. And your intentions have to be right. It's not only your actions. So that, says the Ran, is why the Torah keeps telling the king, you write a Torah, you learn the Torah. Specifically because of what we've learned until now, that the king has given this open license. To the point of killing someone, he's given the license. That's why he always has to ensure, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? He has to think, I'm doing this because of this mitzvah, and this is the mitzvah I'm upholding by doing it. That, says the Ran, is the theme of a king having a Sefer Torah with him.